question was asked when offered food by other people or when invited to people's house, when can one trust that all the food is kosher? So we have a general rule. The Gemara tells us, Eid echad ne'eman bisurin. We trust a single person, an individual, when it comes to prohibitions. That's why when your wife gives you food, you don't have to ask her, where'd you get the chicken from? And even if you ask her, you could believe her. And when your wife puts meat before you, you don't have to wonder, well, did she salt it? Did she buy kosher meat? You could eat it because she's, by giving it before you, she's basically saying it's kosher, assuming you have a religious wife. I mean, a person who marries an irreligious woman has a problem. He has to talk to his rabbi how he's going to do that. It's not a recommended thing to do, but sometimes what can happen is that one of the couple becomes religious, another one isn't. So then they have to figure out how they're going to do it. And then we run into a whole different parsha. That's not our discussion tonight. Every one of us should be Ezrat Hashem merit to marry a religious woman, and we should merit to continue being religious, us and our spouses and our families. So the general rule is, if you have someone who's orthodox and keeps Torah and mitzvot, you could trust him if he tells you that something is kosher. Now we run into the technicalities. You have a person that says, sure, it's kosher. I mean, the guy selling it to me was wearing a kippah, so of course it's kosher, right? That's not a way you check kashrus. So we have to break down what we're talking about. Okay. Yeah. That's where we'll get to right now. That's where we're going. Generally, you could assume that a person who's the average observant Jew knows the average laws of being an observant Jew. So when he serves you meat, you can assume he knows how to buy kosher meat. When he serves you a cup of milk, you could assume he didn't cook meat in that milk, right? Basic laws of kashrus, he knows. So basic foods aren't a problem. If you have a person that you know keeps basic Torah and mitzvot, you could eat basic things by him. If he offers you challah, you could assume that the average person in Israel knows they have to sift flour, and the average person knows that they have to take off challah before they serve you food. The question is more complex when you're invited by someone who just started doing tshuva, and they haven't learned that. The guy could still be shaving with a razor. He doesn't know it's prohibited to shave with a razor. It's not his fault. He doesn't know. I mean, the guy could, a guy once came to me and said, I started keeping kosher. I stopped eating pork, now I only eat shrimp. True story. A guy came over to me and said, he wanted to keep nalochos. He said, I started keeping kosher. So he stopped eating pork and started eating shrimp. What can we do? The guy didn't know. Now if that guy comes and tells you the food is kosher, you understand that he doesn't know what kosher means. But if one is invited by someone who's on that level, where when he tells you kosher, he doesn't yet know what kosher is, so then you really have a problem going and eating by him. Then you have all the gray areas, and each case you have to ask about. The general rule is that if you know the guy is the average Jew and he knows basic halachot, so you could assume that basic things will be kosher. That's basic things. What's basic things? Okay. I wouldn't worry about that. That I wouldn't worry about. What's not basic? Let's see. It depends on what location you're in. In many places in the world, it's not basic to give you salad with lettuce that's insect free. Many places you're going to go, they'll serve salad with lettuce that has insects, that has bugs. If you're not buying insect-free lettuce, then the lettuce usually has insects. So when you go to someone's house, if you're not certain about where they're holding, so you don't have to eat the lettuce. So you leave the rest of the salad and you leave the lettuce on the side, you tell them you don't like lettuce. We don't have to worry that the bug moved from the lettuce to a piece of the salad and you're not going to see it. On the lettuce, you don't see the bugs. On the rest of the salad, so A, who said the bugs moved? And B, if they moved, I assume you'd see them. Take a look before you eat. But we assume that the achzuke yisura lo machzikinan. We don't take an isur that appears in one place and assume it went to someplace else. Now, I never researched the bugs on lettuce, So we should really check if bugs on lettuce really move around the salad, if they do that. I don't know. To the best of my knowledge, they do not. But you could look. Look at the foods you eat, or you could forego that salad. Hummus, 99% of the people don't make hummus at home. So you could have challah with hummus. Challah, people know to be mafrish challah. So you don't have a problem with the challah. In general, what are we concerned about? Kosher meat, people know to buy kosher meat. What are our concerns? Meaning, kashrus is something that is usually identifiable. Meat you can't identify, well, people know to buy kosher meat. Not to cook meat and milk together, people know that. What are we worried about? The major concern that we can have is that there are insects. So insects you should be able to see. If he made a fig cookie, that you shouldn't eat, because figs have worms which you can't see. So fig cookies you shouldn't eat. But these are things that you'll have to learn with time. The general rule is that if a Jew that's basically observant, and I mean he keeps Shabbos, he keeps the halachas the way he should, so he doesn't keep his tzitzis out. Who needs to keep his tzitzis? I don't need to keep my tzitzis out. Okay? I'm not talking about the stringencies. I'm talking about basic halachos he keeps. So he's telling you the food is kosher, you can eat by him. If you have issues which you think he's not aware of, and that you yourselves will learn with time.
There's always people who are not, I don't want to use this term, but who are learning most of their life. I don't know how to describe it. People who are not necessarily grow up in a religious home. We usually have things missing in their kids.
So it's their job to verify it. I mean, I'll tell you a story. Rav Moshe Feinstein, his son, Rav Reuven Feinstein, once invited a friend for Shabbos. So the kid, Rav Reuven Feinstein, today he's one of the big rabbis in the world, then he was a kid. So he invites his friend, let's call his friend Shmerel. So Friday afternoon, Shmerel calls up and says, my father wants to know what ashgachas you eat. What kashas is the food going to be? So Rabbi Feinstein said, no problem. He told them what they eat, what foods are there in the house. And after they hung up, so Rabbi Feinstein told his son, he said, you should know that the person made a big mistake here. Because technically, he doesn't think I'm not a God-fearing person. He knows I'm a good Jew. So the halacha says when you eat by a good Jew, you can eat things because you can trust him when he says it's kosher. The second he starts asking me questions, what he's saying is he doesn't trust me. He's taking the responsibility that everything's kosher. He's asking, is it this kashrus? Is it that kashrus? Is it this? Is it that? So he's taking responsibility. Now I have no responsibility. When he'll come to Shemayim and they'll ask him, did you eat kosher? If he didn't eat kosher, they'll say, well, why didn't you check better? You took the responsibility. Had he not asked all the questions, when he came to Shemayim, he could have said, Ribon Shom, you told me the halacha is, I'm allowed to trust a God-fearing Jew. So that's what I did. And it didn't turn out to be kosher, but I went with the guidelines you gave me. And then he's not liable, I'm liable. The second he's starting to question me, he's taking the liability. So nowadays, you're right, there are issues that people don't know about. People don't know about bug-free lettuce. Depends on where you go, but there can be areas where people don't know about bug-free lettuce. So what you know about, you'll have to be careful about. You're right. People don't know that you have to have bug-free lettuce. What's another good example? Yeah. Tvilat kelim. So I think people are careful. When I go to Tovel my kelim, I see all kinds of people that you never imagine coming to Tovel their kelim. And everywhere I go in the world, people usually are careful about tvilat kelim. I would not worry about it. And anyways, aside from our silverware, most of our kelim don't need tvila midoraita, so you don't have such a problem. Most of our kelim are only drabanan. What vessels do we use? Only metal vessels. The vessels you're going to use, the only problem you really have are the metal vessels. Glass is obligated drabanan. Oh. All our pottery is glazed, so it's like glass. So it's drabanan. So you have to toivel, but I'm just saying that the whole tevila is drabanan, so you're dealing with a situation where you're uncertain whether it needs a drabanan. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that our pottery doesn't even need tevila. meaning all our Corel, or all our, I don't know about Corel because I'm not sure how they make it, but the average ceramic cups that you buy, the mugs, right, that they're coated, that they have this thin coating, according to Rabbi Feinstein, you don't have to toivel them. So you do have to toivel them, because in Israel no one accepts Rabbi Feinstein on this point. But if you're eating in someone's house and he offers you a cup with a hot drink, even if you knew for a fact it wasn't toiveled, you'd have no problem drinking from that cup, because Rabbi Feinstein holds you don't need to toivel that cup. And the same thing for most of the what people call China. It's not really China. What people use, the dishes that people use, according to Rabbi Feinstein, they probably don't need tevila. So I'm not worried about that. The metal, that's his cooking pot. That's not my problem. He's cooking. I'm not eating from that dish. He has to toivel it. I don't have to worry about it when I'm his guest.
If you're
the problem is when you use that dish. You can't use that dish. If he used that dish, that's his problem. It's not my problem. Yes. That isn't the reason not to. Whether he toiveled his kelim or not. Especially because who told you he didn't toivel them? Why are you assuming he didn't? I'm telling you that I see people, women walking up in jeans to toivel their dishes. I mean, I see people toivel dishes. I see that. It's something that Am Yisrael is careful about today. I see it wherever I go. I'm not only talking about here in Kiryat Moshe. Many communities, the places that I've been, I saw that even the people that are not so from, they toivel their dishes. That's what I've seen. I mean, you're telling me it's different. I don't know, but that's what I see. So I'm saying, Tevil Kelim, I'm not so worried about. I'm more worried about the things that they don't know that they have to check. I mean, and on that, between me and you, do you know better than them? What do you know that they don't know? Whatever you know, you can be careful about. What are you worried about? That rule applies to me too. Someone once asked me, how do you eat from so-and-so? So I said, he and I learn chavrusa and yeshiva. So why shouldn't I eat from him? So he said to me, yeah, but you spend a lot of time researching bugs and food. You have books on it in your house. You research, you ask questions. Every week you're still looking into it. So I said, yeah, and I'm sure he researched it too. And who said, maybe there are 10 things I don't know about that he knows about. Maybe I do my best, he does his best. I can eat by him, he can eat by me. We're doing the best we can. That's not something to be worried about. If there's a specific item that you know that people aren't careful about, so on that item you'll have to verify. Remember what it is. There are things that people don't know about. When you learn about them yourself, then you'll have to verify how to deal with them in other people's homes.
I can think of many, many gray areas where
give one. Let's see.
I don't know. Are you allowed to buy from the store that is open on Shabbat?
That's not a problem with the food. That's not your problem. Why should it invalidate the kashrus? That's a complex question. I can't answer that. I'll regalachas, but I wouldn't worry about that. Meaning, I wouldn't worry they're buying in a store that's open on Shabbos. If it has kashrus, it has kashrus. Most of the stuff we buy today is packaged. I mean, so the packaging has a badatz. It doesn't matter whose house it is in. It still has a badatz. I mean, it has the same kashrus. The only issue you might raise is trumas and maisers. Maybe. I'm not so worried about that. So Shvit is its own parsha. When we come to the next Shemitah, we could talk about Shvit. You still have the Seder, yeah.
What I'm doing when I'm applying this rule, this general rule, and I'm trusting a good Jew, and suddenly find out just by seeing that he has a lot of items in his house that are not kosher.
What do you mean by not kosher? What do you see in a person's house that's not kosher? Teach me.
Serving me cookies that I'm seeing that I know that they're not kosher.
What do you mean by not kosher? They have no hechsher or not kosher?
No, they're simply not kosher. They have things inside that are not kosher. They have no hechsher.
Say so that person you can't eat by.
At that moment when I see that.
If you're telling me the guy just served you cookies that are really not kosher, I don't know. It's not so simple to get cookies that are not kosher in this country. In Chutzlaretz, and you're sure he didn't verify? I mean, in Europe, a lot of people verify ingredients for different items. I know people who are experts as to what ingredients go into different foods, and they could tell you things on the shelf. This is kosher, this is kosher, this is kosher, and they're not certified kosher.
Okay, I know that,
and even if they have gelatin.
I'm going so far that then he realized that he can't serve me there.
So then you can't eat there. Then you have a problem. But even then, there's what to be discussed if there were necessary, if there was something necessitating your joining him for a meal. So then you have to sit down with the rabbi and figure out if there's room to be lenient and when. Meaning, we once had a couple that we tried to bring. They were in touch with us, and we were friendly. We tried inviting them for Shabbos, and they said, "We'll come to you for Shabbos if you'll come to us for Shabbos." And I knew that there were certain issues that they weren't that they didn't keep, things that it says in the Torah that they didn't keep, a specific thing, one thing, but it was a pretty serious thing. So I went to meet with Rav Halberstam Zatzal, and I sat down with him and I said, "Look, if I don't go to them, they won't come to me, and if they don't come to me, I don't know how Orthodox they'll remain. Meaning, I'm their major link to Judaism, this couple. So how lenient can I be with going over to them?" So he sat and he thought, and he said, "Go over to them for a cup of tea." He said, "Okay, if there's a limit to how far you can be lenient. You can be lenient enough to eat their tea and cookies, and that's it." So each circumstance over there was something biblical that they had willingly decided they're not doing. So whatever it was. No, because people will infer incorrect things. Something tragic happened to them, and they decided, so to speak, they're going to show God. So they decided they're not doing something. There was a certain... not in Kashrut. But when a person decides that there's a certain mitzvah that they're not doing, so it's a problem. Now I can no longer say about him, he's a good kosher Jew. A good kosher Jew is a person that tries to keep mitzvot, and just like me and you and everyone else, sometimes he succeeds more and sometimes he succeeds less. But he's trying. When a person takes one mitzvah and says, "Ribon Shalom, you did this to me, now I'm not doing it," so we have a problem. We have a problem trusting that person. Now, I'm saying, in this case, a person serving you something that says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you don't eat that," and you realize it's not an issue of chumrah, it's an issue that is not kosher. And again, there's a difference between not having a hechsher and not kosher. If it doesn't have a hechsher, so maybe he verified that it's kosher. But if it's not kosher, so then you have to talk to the rabbi. If you have reason to need to stay in contact and be over at his house where he'll serve you food, so then you have to verify. You have to verify what you could and cannot eat. Yeah, Israel. I could tell you that there are a lot of people that do a lot of things. My tradition is what I told you. And I can tell you, go so far as there was... I told you guys this story. There was a rabbi who came to Israel, one of the big rabbis of our time, and I wanted to go visit him, but I figured I always like doing something for the rabbis when I come to them. So I called in advance and I asked his wife, "They're visiting Israel, maybe I could go by the supermarket and pick up some food for them." So she said, "Actually, yes, if you could pick up the certain fruits, we don't have fruits or vegetables in the house, if you could pick up something." So I figured, I went to the store, I bought the fruits and vegetables. When I got back, I realized the store had a certain hechsher on their fruits and vegetables. So I called up that rabbi's house again, and I said, fresh fruits and vegetables, yeah. Truma, Meiser, Shviz. So I called up the house again, and I said to the Rebbetzin, I don't know which hechsher the Rav eats. I got it in the local store here. So she asked her husband, and he said, "Tell him that whatever he eats, we eat. I don't know hechsher. I trust him. Whatever he eats is good for me." So you see that they don't know where I verified. But they know that I try to keep mitzvot. So if I'm giving them food, obviously, as far as I know, that food is kosher. And I verified it responsibly. Meaning, so different people will verify different things. His rabbi isn't your rabbi. But at the end of the day, a person is supposed to check which hechsherim he could eat. And we said here in Machon Meir, our policy for all the guys are, our policy is, you guys are just starting out. You're getting used to not eating pork and shrimp. Every hechsher is a good hechsher. If it's an Orthodox hechsher, so then you eat it. Don't worry about it. Rabbanut, I don't care if it's Rabbanut Tel Aviv on a steakhouse. Eat it. There's nothing wrong. There's a hechsher. You can trust it. I don't know the Rabbanuyot. I don't know. I mean, I gave Rabbanut Tel Aviv as an example. Could be it's a fantastic hechsher. I don't know. I don't know the different hechsherim around the country. But in general, for guys here, our policy is across the board. If it's an Orthodox hechsher, so eat it. There's nothing wrong with it. And with time, if you think you want to be more stringent, come back to me in 10 years and I'll probably give you the same answer. It's not an issue that's worth dealing with right now. It's more important that a person deals with the other aspects of his spiritual growth. That a person maintains the 613 biblical mitzvot. I'm not worried that when there's a hechsher there, he's transgressing a biblical mitzvah. I'm not. I'm more worried about the other biblical mitzvot than whether a person's keeping that. Is a person keeping yichud? Is a person keeping negiyah? Is a person keeping all the mitzvot that are not so easy to keep? Well, what's a person looking at when he's on the internet? That's d'oraisa. What kashrus a person eats is not d'oraisa. I'm not worried that he's going to eat non-kosher meat. I'm not. I am worried that he's going to go online and see improper things that can very easily become an issur d'oraisa. That does concern me. I am worried that he'll have a girlfriend and go out with her and he won't keep negiyah or anything else, and that's an issur d'oraisa. That concerns me. So I think that a person has to set up his guidelines. What should I work on now? And kashrus is not keep kosher. Don't eat a cheeseburger. Don't go into McDonald's. Unless they have a hechsher. Here in Israel you have one that's kosher, right? If it has a hechsher, if it's kosher, it's kosher. I don't know anything about it. I don't know. He doesn't have to look from at all. He could be a guy. If he has a hechsher, he's kosher. End of story. But you think when you buy M&M's with an OU, the people in the M&M's factory are Jewish? I don't think so. And Kellogg's cornflakes, I don't think the people at Kellogg's are Jewish either. So I assume if that McDonald's has a hechsher, they have someone checking it too. I was told, I don't know if this is true, that when they opened the non-kosher McDonald's somewhere in Israel, the head of McDonald's was very upset that he couldn't get a hechsher. He said, I'm buying kosher cheese and I'm buying kosher meat and I'm just putting them together in a hamburger. Why won't they let me eat to get a hechsher? That's what I was told. I don't know if it's true, but... What? No. Yeah.
Question?
Yeah. Yes, there's far more room to be lenient in Israel where you have a rove that the things that are served here are kosher. I mean, here in Israel, you go into a supermarket, you're going to have a hard time buying non-kosher food. That's why I was surprised when he said that non-kosher cookies, I didn't know they sell non-kosher cookies in the country. Non-kosher or without a hechsher? That doesn't mean they're non-kosher. I'm aware of that. I mean, unfortunately, not only in Tel Aviv. But first of all, you have to know that if it's a non-kosher, it's illegal to have something non-kosher. So they're paying taxes for it, meaning they're being fined for it. Every restaurant that sells non-kosher food is paying is being fined for it.
What's non-kosher?
Pork.
Being fined for it?
Yeah. They make much more money than the fine. What can I say? Yeah. So, you can usually ask, if you see that the hechsher has expired, you should ask for the number of the mashgiach and give him a call. Mashgiach himself on numbers. I've never, not never, not true. We had a fruit store here that was caught, that they were bringing in fruits and vegetables that were not, the Truma Meiser hadn't been taken off, and their hechsher was really revoked. and there were all kinds of games going on there. But in general, if it's a story like that, that the month just passed and they don't have a new certificate, so you should call. And every time I called, the Mashgiach told me, really, they have a Hechsher. You should really verify who to call, because he could give you his friend's phone number to call. What you have to take note, and that's more prevalent, is that you'll see a kashrus certificate that says Teves Shvat Adar Tavshin Samaches, and now we're in Tavshin Samachtes. Yeah. Or you'll see a certificate that says Teves Shvat Adar, and it tells you this certificate is only for the factory. It's not for the store.
Yeah.
And then the store owner tells you, I have a certificate. No, you don't. Now, we can trust, if you have an Abadi here on Kanfein Sharim, he has no Hechsher. The Abadi on Kanfein Sharim, the bakery. It's not a bakery. Across from Angels, you have an Abadi. So he sells only Abadi products, and he has hanging a photocopy of Abadi's Hechsher. So you could rely on that. It's not a problem to rely on it, but you should realize you're relying on it. You could rely on it, because he's selling you products that Abadi makes. It's like when you go into a candy store. If the candy store doesn't have a Hechsher, so the fact that they put a sticker on the candy and they say, this candy has this Hechsher, who said you could trust them? If it's a religious person who's running the store, it's one thing. If it's a non-religious person, so then if you know what products are produced by that company, meaning Oppenheimer produces these type of cordials, these type of chocolates, so then you could assume that he's putting the sticker, you could assume that it's that, but still, it's better to buy from a store that has a Hechsher, or buy from a store where you can trust the owner, where the owner is a God-fearing person. It's very common here in Jerusalem that store owners come in and put on a kippah sugah. They walk around without a yarmulke, they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep many things, but it's good for business to have a yarmulke. So that's not a way to judge. And it's very common that a store owner will put up a picture of the Baba Salin, Rav Avadia Yosef, and you ask him, where's your Hechsher? And he says, these are my Hechsher. What do you mean with these rabbis here? Do you think I could sin? That's not a Hechsher, with all due respect. So the question is more prevalent when it comes to buying nuts. You want to buy all the pistachios and different nuts for Shabbos. So there, it's the question is trumas, maizrus, etc. So you should buy from a store that has a hechsher. There's no two ways about it. But your original question was, remind me. So yeah, so if the Hechsher expired, that you should call the Mashgiach, because it's important that there's pressure both ways. The store owner knows that without the Hechsher you're not going to buy by him. That encourages him to keep paying for that Hechsher. And the Mashgiach knows that he has to get his act together and bring out the certificate. That's not right. Where's the certificate? It helps the system run more correctly. So it is important to call. Yeah. Okay, we'll get back to you. Yeah.
If you know that a Jew, like you said, is not careful about this one, or about certain stuff, or let's say you've seen him do something that is not related to the halacha, does that relate to his level of kashrut?
It's too complex. And each case has to be discussed in its own merits. So you can't just say a general rule. Yeah.
The same question regarding wine. Should you, if the Jew is a
in general, all our wines are pasteurized, and where the second there exists a human being who he respects enough that in front of him he wouldn't desecrate Shabbos, that's good enough. Meaning if it's his father, his rabbi, the chief rabbi of Israel, so long as there's someone who he respects enough that in front of him he would behave, in front of him he wouldn't be Michal Shabbos, let's say. If you have a Jew that he doesn't keep Shabbos, but if he'd see Rav Lau in the street, he wouldn't drive his car. He'd hide his cigarette. He wouldn't be smoking. That's the Gedda that's brought in Halacha. So long as there's someone that in front of him, he does keep things. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a before that an individual is from, we know we would trust his kashrut, he said it's kosher. But what if when I go back to, like, say, I come back and go to the store, or you're more simple, I go, a bottle stand, a bottle stand. If one guy, you know, is from,
You could. I used to live here on Herzl. And there is a makolet that the owner's name is Dadchi Cohen. And I used to buy his fruits and vegetables. He always used to tell me I could show you my receipts. Everything I buy has Trumas and Mais just taken off. I don't have a hechsher. But I'm telling you, everything has Trumas and Mais taken off. And I told my wife, you could buy there. He's a good Jew. I'd eat in his house. He's Shomer Torah Mitzvos. What's my problem? In ancient times, there weren't hechsherim. It's a new concept, this hechsher business. Right? So this guy, I trust him. So I'm happy to buy by him. The makolet up here on Ha'ilui, I trust him more than I would trust the hechsher. You go up the block, up on Meiri becomes Ha'ilui. You go up Ha'ilui, on your right you have a makolet. The owner is Avi, I don't remember his last name. He's a very God-fearing person. It's worthwhile to buy him a drink just to see how he makes a bracha. So you could learn Yiras Shemayim from seeing how he makes a bracha. Be'emet. I always marvel at him. He follows our parsha shir. I always bring him the notes. That after we finish our parsha shir, I bring him the notes. He's a very fine person. He has a hechsher in his store. But between me and you, he's more careful about the Trumas and Maizes than the Mashgiach ever could be. The Mashgiach comes in once a day, once a week. He takes care. I trust him. I eat his food. The same thing, there was a friend of mine who owned a pizza shop. He had a great hechsher. I always used to tell him, I don't eat anyone else's pizza shop, but I eat your pizza. Because you I trust. I know you're watching things. To give a kashrus on a pizza shop is complex. So, okay, you, I know, you're watching the spices and everything else that's going into it. On the other hand, I once walked into a place that had what's considered the best hechsher in the country. It's considered the best, the most machmir hechsher that exists today. Whatever hechsher it is, that's the reputation it has. And I see this fly flying around, and I had that fly in my house once. It's a fly that transforms into a worm that eats grains. And when you have an infestation of that, when you see those flies, you know that there's infestation in the place. So I once walked into a relative's house and I see that fly and I said, you know your grains are infested. And they said, yeah, how'd you know? I said, that. They said, what does that have to do with my grains in my closet? I said, the same worm that's in the grains that every so often you open your rice and you see hairs between the rice because it's infested, and every so often you open cereal and you see it's infested. Well, you have worms in that closet. That same bug is up there. It keeps changing. It metamorphosizes from that fly or a bug or whatever it's called to the worm in your stuff, in your food. So I walked into this place and I see the same fly flying around. And they're supposed to be selling falafel bowls and all kinds of other stuff. Now I know this fly also likes falafel, so I know they are infested. They can tell me whatever they want. They have the best hechsher in the world, but they're infested. Whatever they want to tell me, they can tell me. I know this bug is here. There's infestation here. There's no two ways about it. You could check the rice, you could check everything, but you haven't gotten rid of the infestation. I didn't eat there. I can't be stupid. I can't just say, well, they have a hechsher, it must be kosher. The truth is, I did eat there. I ate there. No. I was already. I had set up a meeting with someone there, so I told the person, "Let's just buy French fries and hummus, because the hummus, or maybe just French fries and ketchup. French fries, I knew there wasn't a problem. This bug doesn't eat the potatoes, and the ketchup, there's no problem. Hummus, you couldn't eat there either, because the bug likes hummus beans. I didn't know if they make the hummus in house or out of house, so the hummus I couldn't eat either. Most places buy hummus, but when you're a hashpash restaurant, so then you don't buy hummus, you make your own. Yep. Okay, yeah, Davin.